want us to think this morning of a slippery road from Psalm 73, the hymn book of the Jews. This ancient literature, and yet in which we find a man sharing his personal experience with us. He talks about his problem, and then he talks about the solution to his problem. There are simply two things in this psalm, and one is the psalmist brings up the problem he has, and then he discovers the solution to that problem. I think this story in the 73rd Psalm has interest for every person here. First of all, it has interest for the people who have had an experience similar to the one the psalmist had. He was at the point, he said, that he had almost stumbled and slipped. And he said that he had well nigh lost his footing. And there are lots of you today that have had a similar experience as the psalmist. Second, there are perhaps others here today who are going through the experience at the present time. You're facing some conflict, some difficulty in life, in which you are stumbling along. You really are not able to discover your way through. In the third place, there are probably others here today who have had an experience with the psalmist, but instead of a triumph, yours has been a tragedy. Instead of being able to stumble along and finally get the solution, you slipped and you skidded in the ditch. We would say. I've known a lot of people like this. For example, a man who came, trusted the Lord, united with the church, who was an alcoholic. And then a few months and a few years back, he once again finds himself with the old companions, and then he slips and he stumbles. And he finds that he has disgraced his family, he disgraced himself, he has brought a reflection upon his church. And so what a tragic experience. How alarming it is when we get on a slippery road. If you've ever tried to drive an automobile on a slippery clay road, when it's been raining or it's wet, you just can't control it. In all directions. And how tragic it is and alarming when we come to the place in life and we discover that we're losing our hearing. Or we're losing our eyesight. Or perhaps our health is just disappearing and slipping away from us. I'll tell you, it's different then. I looked into the eyes of a man this week who was operated on, and we trust it'll be successful. But he says, you know, I have to have this section of my lung taken out because of cancer. The doctor says it's from smoking cigarettes. How tragic it is when we hear this news, and somehow how are we going to react when we get on a slippery road? What was it that upset the psalmist? And what was it that caused him to say that my steps were faltering and I had well nigh slipped in the ditch? What was it that took his feet out from under him? Now the thing that may trouble me may not trouble you. And the thing that troubles you may not trouble me. But here was a man who looked at his neighbor. And in verse 3 it says, "And I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." The psalmist looked at his neighbor and he says, "My neighbor is a wicked man, but he seems to have a full pocketbook. He just makes money. He prospers. He gets along." And this troubled the psalmist as he looked at it. In the 5th verse it says, "They are not in trouble as others." In other words, he says, as he looked at his neighbor who was wicked, he says, he never seems to have sickness. He's never ill. His family, they never get sick. And they seem to have good health and they prosper. And this seems to be an inequality with the psalmist. And in verse 12 he says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world, and they increase in their riches." My, the psalmist was having trouble. He was having trouble with his faith, with his grip on God, because as he looked and saw his neighbor who was growing rich, who never seemed to have trouble, who never seemed to have any problems, I imagine the psalmist at first went to church, read his Bible, paid his tithe, but he was getting to the place that he was changing his mind about it. And in verse 13 we read that the psalmist had reached a horrible place in his experience. But look what he says in verse 13. "Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency." The psalmist says, "I have trusted God for nothing. I've given up my sins. I've had God to cleanse my life. And it's all vain because this wicked neighbor of mine, he seems so much better off than I am. He just gets along, his family stays well, he makes money, he has a lot of fun, he has pleasures. But here I am. I've tried to live right, and I've tried to do right in God's sight." And so the psalmist was losing his grip on God. How did he solve the problem? Would he let God reclaim him? Would he come back to God? Here was the ungodly, these pagans, living their life as if God did not exist. And you know, it's like the man today who says there is no God. Our God is dead. He's not really talking about God, he's talking about himself. He's saying, as far as I'm concerned, I'm living my life without God. In the 16th verse, notice here the place the psalmist had reached. Now you must remember that all along the way, the psalmist had the idea that God was good, and that if a man lived a godly life, then he was automatically going to prosper. He wasn't going to have any trouble. And he also had the idea, if a man was wicked, that he was the man that was going to have all the troubles. But he didn't see this in life. And so in the 16th verse, we read, "When I sought to know this, it was too painful for me." Why, it simply got to him. It troubled him. And so that's the reason why in the 2nd verse he said, "My feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped." Where did he find the answer? How was he going to find the solution to this? Now, you know, the answer is so simple that probably we'll laugh at it. And yet it's so profound. And it's so wonderful. Because he found the answer to his problem in verse 17. You look at it. In verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Church attendance is pretty stale with a lot of people today. Church attendance is pretty unprofitable to over 50% of the adults in this nation today. But the psalmist said, when I attended church, then I understood God's dealing here. He put himself where God could speak to him. And here he found the mysterious power. Here the memories of his soul flooded him. He didn't say a word about the choir. He didn't say a word about the preacher's sermon. Nothing at all about that. But he said, when I went to church, I understood. When I went into the sanctuary of God, do you think a man could come into this church on Sunday and find the presence of God? This poor fellow found God. And how easy it would be for disturbed people to come to the house of God and find a solution for their problems. I spoke to a woman the other day who was about to have a divorce in her family. But if you would go to the house of God, I believe you could find the answer. But she has not been to the house of God in months, and neither the husband. And no wonder we get confused. And no wonder sin overtakes us and we slip. In verse 18, the psalmist begins to get his eyes open. And he begins to see who is really on the slippery road. Surely thou didst see, set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. When the psalmist went to church, he discovered that he was not the man on the slippery road, but the sinner. The wicked neighbor he had was the man that was on the slippery way, and that someday he would meet destruction. In verse 27, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. The wicked who have turned their backs on God and seem to prosper for a season, why should he be envious of them? Why should he begrudge them? Why should he lose his faith in God? Why should he stop attending church? Because the wicked seem to prosper. In verse 22, so foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. He said it was just folly in my heart to think this way. When men go to church, they do find a difference. That day when the publican went into church, Jesus said that he went home a justified man. That day when that young man went into the temple to pray, and somehow God opened his heart to him, and he began to see God on a high throne, and he began to see that his own lips were unclean, and God sent a servant with a hot coal from the altar and touched his lips and said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Then it was that Isaiah was changed. But he was in the church when it happened to him. Suddenly the psalmist was there, and like a movie screen he saw himself, and to his own amazement, he found that not the wicked man had all the glorious things, but he himself had something. Look at verse 25. In that 25th verse, the psalmist found a solution, and he found more than solution, because he says, "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." When he was on that slippery road, day and night, he comes now to realize God was with him all the way. And he comes to realize that God is present with him. And there is none beside God in heaven, nor on earth, that he desires beside him. Instead of slipping, he finds that he has joy and he has strength that he never realized he had before. Faith helped him to stay on a solid ground. Now we need not be surprised when we enter the church. You don't go in vain when you go to church if you go to seek God. But if you're looking at your wicked neighbor next door or down the street or somewhere else, and you become envious of him, all that you would discover with the psalmist, his wicked neighbor had poverty within, but he had riches within, because he had his own wealth. He discovered that God was with him continually, and he discovered that God was worth more than all that the rich man and the wicked man seemed to have. Same thing when Jesus said to Jerusalem, "Lift up your heads and look, for your redemption draweth nigh." When you see these things come to pass, in the 28th verse, "For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all his works." Isn't it good to draw near to God? The question is your soul torn by confusion? Have you lost your grip on God? I think this was part of the psalmist's problem. He just sort of lost hold on God, the reality of God with him. Has your soul become embittered with envy toward anyone? Are you discouraged? Are you filled with loneliness and doubts? Are you losing your footing? Are you on the slippery roads? Would you seek the treatment? Would you welcome the treatment that God is able to give you? Why not turn to God in the church today? Eddie Cantor was in a big city, and a rainstorm came up, and he found himself in the doorway of a church with a crowd of people. Some of the people asked Eddie Cantor if he would make a speech for them while they were there waiting for the storm to pass. And so he made a few remarks, and this is what he said. He said, "The world is going through today a windstorm. Every single one of us needs a refuge of some kind. And I don't know a better place to find it than in the church." Don't lose, he says, your grip on the church and on religion. In the darkest hour which you may have, you can reach up and with certainty know that God is there. John Patton, translating the New Testament into a native tribe, could not find a word for faith and trust until one day one of his friends came in from a long, hot journey, cast himself down in a chair, and made a remark And the word that he made, that he used, meant, I'm resting my whole weight here. John Patton said, that's the word I need for faith and for trust, whereby a man puts his whole weight on Jesus Christ. When you feel that your feet are slipping and you're on a slippery road, when the devil sends temptations to you, when you have the trials of the flesh, the illness, the sickness, the suffering, the sorrow, cast your whole weight upon him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee today for Jesus, and we thank thee for this humble illustration of the psalmist who told us his problem and told us the simple solution. We know today, our Father, that every person here can find the answer to the need of his or her soul. If there is a person here today, our Father, that is not a Christian, may the Holy Spirit speak to that heart and cause that person to come and to know that if they will cast their whole weight upon Jesus and trust him in faith, he will keep them from falling. They will not perish and they will not be destroyed. We pray, our Father, if there are others here today who have been floundering around and stumbling and walking a slippery path, may somehow they get a firm grip on God. If there are those today, our Father, with us, who need to make this their church home, may they do so. And know that in the church, they can always find the answer to the heart's need. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen. We're going to sing 233. And as we sing the invitation hymn, we invite you, if you're not a Christian, to come today and give your life to Christ. If you're here today in your church membership somewhere else, you'd like to make this your church home, we invite you to come. It'll be a blessing to your life. God bless you, whatever your decision.